Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It's gone from suck to blow.
What?
You know, Chris Harrison, our own Cecil Lamb, he talked about Chris Harris Jr., how he's irreplaceable. Like, he's a guy that you have to get signed. He's a guy that's going to make this thing go. And you think about all the criteria at the cornerback position. Can you play man coverage? Absolutely. Can you play on the outside? Absolutely. Can you play on the inside? Absolutely. Are you one of the top corners in all of football? Absolutely. Do you have to have multiple corners to really be effective in today's NFL? Absolutely. I mean, every box is checked, is it not? Every single one is checked. So, to me, Chris Harris Jr. becomes one of those guys that's not only irreplaceable, but he's a guy that you have to have. When you think about complementary nature of football, for Joe Flacco to be good, we talk about this on offense all the time. For him to be good, offensive line's got to be productive, got to have a tight end that can catch the ball in the middle of the field, control the middle of the field, so that you can have the outside open one-on-ones to drive the ball down on the outside, whether it's corner routes, whether it's deep dig routes, whatever the case may be. That's what you have to have, a running game to support Joe Flacco. Well, on the flip side of that, complimentary football, man, you got to be great on defense because you got to give that offense opportunities with the football. You know, you've got to give them 13 possessions a game. That's what you have to be able to do. That's complementary football, and it's got to be done. And Chris Harris helps you achieve complementary football. This is a no-brainer. He has got to get a new contract. He has got to be a pivotal part of this football team for this football team to go from, you know, are we competing with the Raiders to are we competing with the Chiefs? That's what has to happen. So get the guy signed so he can get his cleats on the grass!
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
I know you guys talked a lot about this yesterday. So what's the general consensus takeaway? That a deal gets done or not done?
I think a deal gets done, Mike, but I think, you know, if you think it's going to happen June 4th so he can be here for the mandatory minicamp and all that stuff, I don't know why this is the nature of business. Deadlines produce deals, right? And I don't know why it's the nature of business that way. You know, I was saying this yesterday with Cecil. I don't understand in the football world or in the business that you and I are in, right? In the media world, whether it's radio or whether it's, you know, TV broadcasting. Like, I'm in the middle of a contract right now. And, you know, and I've never understood why networks or why teams feel like they have to insult you three times before they actually get to a number that's palatable. Like, maybe they just think you're going to take it. Like, oh, okay, we'll just offer him this. We know that it's not close to what he wants, but, you know, we're just letting him know we have the upper hand. I've never understood that. Why would you not come at it from an angle of let's be complimentary, let's be fair, let's be, you know, let's be transparent and let's just get it done. Like, we both have a vision of getting this done. And how much money do you really save yourself when you lowball somebody at the very beginning of it and it just really irritates them? Like, how, like what's the, I'd like, it'd be interesting for us to do a study on just like on, like what it does to team morale, what it does to the individual as far as kind of safeguarding himself or herself in a contract dispute like that. Like, what's the overall effect of you guys being turds as opposed to doing what's right?
Well, I think that what you're talking about is that you have people in our business.
Uh-huh.
But in all businesses, and I would throw it out to our listeners on the total on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043, that if you're in a position where you negotiate with employees, that you hand out deals, you hand out contracts, you are in charge of doing the negotiating. How important is it to you to win the deal? To win the negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
To walk out of that room feeling like I got me, I got my boss, I got my company a great deal here.
Right.
I saved us money. How important is it to you to do that? How many of you go into it with the idea of, hey, look, I recognize what this person can bring, and I'm not looking to play games. I just think there are a lot of people, and I think it definitely applies to sports because it's competition, and you've got people who get to this point because they have a healthy ego and a healthy sense of competition that I think it's important to them to feel like they won the deal. And it shouldn't be that way. I'd like to think that if I was ever in that position, that's not how I would operate, but I think that's how many people do.
Yeah, I just always wonder, you know, the cost and the opportunity cost of you being kind of quote-unquote, when it comes to negotiation, you being a bully, and what that does to the overall morale of an organization. Like, I just is, it's an interesting, like, it really happens in our business a lot, Mike. And again, I get that you're trying to bottom line save money, but like, how much, like, even if you saved, let's say on Chris Harris Jr., you go through this and you pound through this negotiation and it becomes kind of vocal and it becomes kind of ugly and you know, there's already been, you know, some verbal barbs, whether it's on social media or whether it's from John Elway. So it's already been out there, right? And if it continues to be ugly, and let's say you save yourself ultimately as an organization, let's say you save yourself, let's call it $1 million a year. Okay. Boom. And you feel like you've won. Well, we won that one, right, guys? What does that ultimately cost you from a team morale standpoint, from what people think of you in the locker room, how the downstairs views the upstairs, you know, how the players view the management? Like, what is the cost of doing business that way? And I'm just asking because I don't know, but I would think there would be a point of diminishing returns, especially in a guy that, and I've said this and I told Cecil this, there's nobody that guys respect more than the college free agent that comes out and becomes a Pro Bowl, all pro player. Like, there's nobody they respect more than that guy because he's had to overcome it and nothing was given to him.
It's an Is It Just Me Friday. Give us your thoughts, your hot sports takes. Get them off your chest. RamosLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Could a key team builder be leaving our fair city? That's next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, on this Isn't Just Me Friday, is it just me? Or would it be crushing if the Denver Nuggets lost their guy, their team builder, Tim Connelly, who is set to interview with the Washington Wizards? Would it be a huge blow for this team that has been built through the draft?
I mean, it's a great question, right? I would say this, Mike. Most of that team has been built. It already exists. It plays well together. You don't ever want to lose those guys, but you understand guys moving on and having another opportunity to be like that quote unquote team builder. But like, what do you really need? I mean, to me, there's a piece you need. A professional scorer in the backcourt is the piece that you need. Which, you know, isn't going to come through the draft. It's going to come through free agency.
So the heavy lifting's been done.
Yeah, basically.
Now it's just time to go out and shop.
I think
pretty much, you know, a lot of people can shop.
Sure.
Well, the other thing to consider also is this, is that Conley's title is president of basketball operations. They have a general manager.
And
it's a guy that's been around here for 6 years. It's Arcturus carnivorus. And the reason I, so as a, I'm a product of the Big East. Okay.
Okay.
I'm a Syracuse guy. I remember I was following the Cuse. I was at the Cuse when the Big East was king. I mean, nobody was close. I mean, the Big East in college basketball.
It was awesome basketball.
Was the SEC of football right now. Okay. That's what it was. And Karnishevas was a heck of a player for Seton Hall back in the day. You don't remember that? Cause remember, he was one of the guys, he was one of the first real, foreign players in big time college basketball. And I remember watching him. I'm like, wow, this guy can play. So anyway, long story short, he's been with the Nuggets for 6 years. He's in his second season as the general manager. So if Tim Connelly ends up leaving, does it sting? Yeah. Is it crushing? No way.
What's his?
No way.
What's his first name?
Arcturus.
Arcturus. He's my neighbor.
Who is?
Arcturus.
He's your neighbor?
Yeah.
The guy we're just talking about. He's your neighbor.
Yeah, he's my neighbor.
You know, you could have led with that. Talking about burying the lead.
I can never remember his name, so I'm always like, hey, how you doing? Great
hey,
to see
guy.
You.
Yeah. Hey. Doing all right?
It's like
good. You healthy? Right?
How's the body? Healthy? Yeah. Good to see you. In the business. Walking your dog. I don't actually really, during basketball season, I don't see him.
But he is your neighbor.
Yeah, he's my neighbor.
So he probably has seen you out there in those very uncomfortable looking mowing shorts of yours.
Well, those ones, remember, the cross ripped out of those, so. But yes, he probably has seen me out there. getting it done.
He is somebody that actually has probably walked by and seen the Petri.
You've seen the Petri, but you don't realize it's the Petri unless you get inside the Petri.
I
don't think that he's been, at least I hope he hasn't
been in my yard. Maybe you should be kind of neighborly, especially if Conley leaves and Arcturus takes over. Maybe you should be sort of neighborly. Invite him over. You guys can chat, business.
Check about the old Seton Hall in Big East.
There you go. Talk about his days playing at the Dome. So anyway.
Going to the Carrier Dome.
Going to the Carrier Dome. So my point is that this would not be.
Yeah.
This would be the equivalent of Jeff Breidich taking over for the Rockies. And do you think the Rockies are in pretty good hands right now with Jeff Breidich? I mean, he's not perfect, but do you think they're in pretty good hands with him?
Yeah, they've done a pretty good job.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not. It doesn't. Hey, listen. That is one of those things that it doesn't concern me. There are guys. Think about this. A lot of people were up in arms. Who was the last general manager that went and, he left Denver and went to, Raptors?
Yeah, Masai Ujiri.
Masai Ujiri, and everybody's like, oh no, Masai Ujiri is one of the great young, talent evaluator, blah, 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 blah. We've been okay.
Yeah.
I think the Nuggets are okay.
Yeah. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
You could take successful general managers who've had a good run, who've won a lot, especially early, and maybe aren't doing as well now, you could move on from them, and it would not mean the end of the world.
Oh. Wow, man, your hate is strong.
What? Hate?
This
day. What? What are you talking about?
Use your hate. Man,
Who do you think I'm talking about?
The hate is strong in you.
Oh, you think I'm talking about Elway?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I wasn't at the time, but now that you mention it, thank you for bringing that up.
You're just such a wet driver. So it's a skill, Mike. It truly is. It's an incredible skill that you possess.
Is it just me, or are the Trailblazers already guaranteed to have a nice summer? at least they can look forward to supporting their baseball team. Oh, no, never mind. At least they can look forward to the NFL. Oh, I mean, never mind. Yeah, that would.
Ooh,
I would hate. Yeah. That'd be tough.
That is straight up. You know what they're signing their yearbook right now? Hackus.
Hackus?
Hackus.
What does that mean?
It stood for back in the yearbook days. Have a kick ass summer.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that when people would come to you and go, hey, Mark, can you sign my yearbook? You'd be like, sure. Hold on a second. Let me reach into my Letterman jacket here and grab my pen.
Yeah.
And,
hey, it was great. Hey, it was great going to class with you, guy. Hackus. Right now.
Even before hashtags. Before hashtags were in, you were just like, it was minus the hashtag, but you just write Hackus.
Hackus. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what they're doing right now. Hey, you know, Dame, can I get your autograph? You bet. Damian Lillard. Hackus.
Have a kick-ass summer.
Come on. Nobody in the East Coast
in the lower 48? I don't know.
Come on. Somebody on the RamosLaw.com text line signed your yearbook with Hackus.
I have never heard of that. And you and I are from the same generation. That's got to be a Alaska thing. Here in the lower 48, we probably just came up with something else. Hackus.
Maybe that was just for my kids' yearbooks when I was sneaking through their yearbooks looking at what they were.
Hackus. All right. You know what?
Yeah.
I might
tell us on their autographs in Portland right now.
Let's see if we can get that thing trending. What do you say? Huh? Everybody out there. You know, look, we got a bunch of kids out there. We got graduations going on. We got school letting out here in the next week or so. Let's see if we can't get Hackus trending out there. Huh?
Somebody is going to text you on the RamosLaw.com text line and say, yes, we used Hackus.
Somebody says we did Hags.
Hags?
Have a great summer.
Oh.
Well, or have a good summer.
You guys went to Catholic school? Hags? Come on.
Hags, so buttoned down.
Yeah.
In Alaska was have a kick-ass summer.
Yeah, that's right. We were rebels. We lived right on the edge.
Oh, my Hackus. Goodness. Alaska. All right. One guy that used to be a Bronco looks like he's won a big-time power struggle. Tell you all about it coming up next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I haven't.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
The hit.
It was pretty hard. The whole front fender,
he's tough. He's tough, though. He's good.
We've taken worse hits before.
How about Noah Fant jumping in there? He's good.
Yeah.
Talk to me. I'm the first round pick. You know, on this, is it just me Friday? Is it just me, or I feel bad for Noah Fant in all this? First round Fant, because, you know, Drew Locke was the one that got recognized by TMZ. Drew Locke was the one that got asked about Joe Flacco. Said, by the way, he's learning a lot from Joe Flacco. Meanwhile, Noah Fant, who actually is one of the more intriguing picks in this first round, because in a league that is littered with star tight ends who all were taken outside the first round, the Broncos went against conventional wisdom and may have overdrafted a tight end. So to me, Fant is the far more intriguing player for 2019-2020, but everybody wants to talk to Locke.
Yeah, well, a fan should have worn all his new Broncos gear.
You think that's what it was?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, he's taking stronger hits than that. You think, was Fant referring to maybe hits in college in the SEC? Or was he talking about dropping from a potential 10th overall pick to the 42nd pick? That's a big hit.
Oh, snap.
I'm just saying it's a big hit. I'm not being snarky.
No, that's snarky.
No. That's a big hit. Financially, that's a huge hit. That's not snark.
That's not what he was talking about.
I'm just, hey, listen.
You think it was like a double message there?
Like double entendre.
Ooh. Next in Four Down Territory.
second down.
I mean, obviously, you know, we definitely want Chris, you know, to be here. You know, he's a big time player in this league. You know, he'll definitely help us on the defensive side. But, you know, us as the rest of the guys, we just have to work accordingly. If he'll be here, you know, we'll definitely love for him to be here. But at the end of the day, we understand it's a business. And, you know, sometimes things happen that we all may not want to happen.
That's Kareem Jackson. Okay, everybody loves Chris Harris Jr. But if the Broncos decide to move on from Chris Harris Jr. and they trade him for future draft picks, how would you feel about their secondary as it would be left? Kareem Jackson, Bryce Callahan, Isaac Yiadom.
I would feel
the rest
less
of the guys,
confident.
Justin Simmons, Will Parks.
Yeah, I'd feel less than confident. I feel okay. But you tell me, do they have a real third corner? Because Bryce Callahan's a small guy, and he's been most productive in the slot. Is he an outside guy? You know, probably not, but, you know, he's really made his money in the NFL being a slot corner. So I would just say, is Yiadom ready? Is he going to be ready? I would just say that I would certainly have pretty strong reservations about that secondary being what it needs to be minus Chris Harris Jr. I mean, you're missing a huge piece of the puzzle. So that to me is there's a big question mark there.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Looking to move forward, put this behind me. I want to thank my family, teammates, coach staff, the Arizona Cardinals community, and also organization. And I'm looking forward to getting back to ASAP. Continue to try to keep that smile on my face and get back to being the best you can be.
Talk about awkward. So Patrick Peterson, just hours after it came down that he had been suspended 6 games for violating the league's performance-enhancing substance policy. He stood on a red carpet at the Patrick Peterson Foundation's annual fundraiser and apologized.
Are the
Arizona Cardinals the new Browns? Are they the new factory of sadness?
Boy, absolutely. Yeah, doesn't it look that way right now? Yeah, it's always interesting too. You look on the, you know, you kind of peruse your social media and you look at some of the news things and how many Patriot fans are coming out there when, and like bashing Patrick Peterson, because Patrick Peterson basically had a lot of bashing to do when Tom Brady and the New England Patriots got in trouble for Deflategate. So he was very critical of them and how they cheat and how they, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this is the opposite of the flake gate. This is the pump up gate, right?
6 games. So I guess the idea of trading for Patrick Peterson is kind of out the door now, right?
Yeah, you would have to think.
Right, yeah. Although never say never, right?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, just some breaking
still a
news.
Really good player, by the way. I mean,
he's outstanding. A little breaking news.
Yeah.
Our own Shane Ray signing with the Baltimore Ravens, per league source Adam Schefter reports.
Okay. Boy, it just didn't work out here, did it?
No.
It just...
No.
Well, you and I were at training camp.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching line drills, one-on-ones, when he hurt that wrist. And it was it looked fairly innocent at the time. He definitely, you know, grabbed at and started twisting it around and moving it around.
Right.
Little did we know then that would really signal the beginning of the end for him here.
It's crazy. It's crazy how that worked. But you know, that's the way it goes, and it just is. It's unfortunate because, yeah, he had that season where he was backing up DeMarcus Ware and he was getting in there occasionally, and DeMarcus missed a little bit of time. I think he had 8 sacks that season and looked like, you know, he was trending the right way. And then you have, you know, an injury like that. And as a player, you're trying to get back. You're trying to, you know, miss as little time as possible and trying to, you know, work around it. It just was, it just is very, you know, just it's upsetting. But good for him that he got that he's getting signed to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, 2016, he played in all 16 games. He had 8 sacks. He'd had 12 sacks for the first 2 years of his career. It all looked promising moving ahead, and then he got hurt and just never been the same. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Your speech, your resignation. It was the anniversary.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, that's right. Probably was. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, like Adam Gase is already outlasting me. So.
Oh, now that is a fake media laugh. Okay, that's Bill Belichick on WEEI in Boston joking about how Adam Gase's tenure with the Jets has been longer than Bill Belichick's was. That's some good fake media laugh.
That's actually pretty good.
I mean, Zach Bye's listening to that going, oh, that's good. Can we hear that again? Millennial Ben, can we hear that again? Listen, I mean, when we joke about fake media laugh, here you go.
Your speech, your resignation. It was the anniversary.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah, that's right. Probably was. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, like Adam Gase is already outlasting me. So.
But that's the side of Bill Belichick that you rarely ever see that I think is pretty funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty funny dude.
So. Yeah, like Adam Gase is already outlasting me. So.
Millennial Ben, can you put this together with Kawhi Leonard and Zach together over that? Let you work on that one. Okay. Adam Gase has won a power struggle. How about that? I mean, it's fitting that on the final weekend of Game of Thrones that, you know, in Game of Thrones fashion, Adam Gase has ousted the general manager and president of football ops that were there. And now Adam Gase is like the most powerful man in the Jets organization. Is that good for the Jets?
I think, like, you know, it's everybody thinks that this is the most Jetty thing the Jets could do, right? And this is so dysfunctional, the Jets. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of that that's going on right now. And, you know, I've been on TV going, you know, if this is about, hey, listen, I didn't want to sign Le'Veon Bell because I want guys that want to be here. And I just came from maybe the most dysfunctional organization in all of football, Miami Dolphins, where you didn't let me do this. So now I want control, guys. Otherwise we'll never change this culture. And if this is about empowering your head coach to really be the man, and we talked about that with Vance Joseph being a problem, you know, or, you know, when you were going to hire Vic Fangio and say, hey, by the way, Vic Fangio, you're hired and you have to take Gary Kubiak. You know, we talk about those things, Mike. Those things are real. And if this is about empowering your head coach, then it could be a good thing for Adam Gase.
Okay. We've done it. Okay. This is Zach and Kawhi. Here we go.
Yeah, like Adam Gase is already outlasting me. So.
Stupid. You're so entertained.
It's just
you.
So. It's just the silly stuff that gets me.
I know.
On a Friday. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. We bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. All right. A lot of ground to cover with our Denver insider, Troy Rank. He's had a chance to be around the Broncos all week long. His observations coming up next. All right. Time to turn to our Denver insider. The one and only Troy Rank. Morning, Troy. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. What'd you learn over the course of this kind of OTAs this week and the practice that they had over there at Dove Valley?
Well, a few things. I mean, Joe Flacco's confidence is real. Players believe in him. As you know, Mark, you lived this. His resume has resonated more maybe even than I expected in terms of, you know, the number of years experience in the Super Bowl. So that's given an interesting vibe to the offense that certainly needs to caffeinate at some point. Dalton Risner is going to be at left guard initially. They're still kind of playing that by ear with Ron Leary. And defensively, there's schematic changes that continue to suggest that, you know, Harris returning isn't likely right now because Kareem Jackson's playing safety. They brought him in kind of a cornerback. He's playing almost exclusive safety. So the coverage changes, and you analyze this for a living, Mark, with that zone coverage, They're no longer press man, corners, no fly zone, go win the game. That's not who they are defensively. And I think you see that through the words of Bryce Callahan, Kareem Jackson, and even how it's impacting, in my opinion, the Chris Harris negotiations or lack thereof.
What is the latest when it comes to Harris and Elway? There was talk yesterday that there's been some conversations, some exchange of ideas and proposals, but any real meat to it?
Not yet. Not yet. I mean, remember last year when they gave him a boost, they did it through incentives, tied to some of individual goals, some team goals. I mean, Chris Harris is not looking for that. He's looking for a contract extension at $15 million per season. He's got to get more than Kareem Jackson based on the player he is. And so that's where it complicates it. I mean, Jackson, you know, got 3 year 33 and X amount guaranteed. And if, you know, Chris doesn't want less than that, then you can see why they're kind of in this situation. So for now, yes, the sides are talking. That's always good, but they have plenty of ground to cover before they would reach a deal.
What about the Xavien Howard? You know, you said the $15 million a year, then the Xavien Howard one is on paper. You know, and I know this is always kind of, you can massage these things, but I think he can, on paper, his is like $17 million a year. Does it change the target for Chris Harris Jr.? Does it change that negotiation at all?
It doesn't change the target that he's been seeking slightly more than Josh Norman, but it does show that the value of the cornerback in the industry, that while the Broncos may say, hey, we're making a schematic shift here and we're not going to pay that, I would suggest there'd be other teams in the league that would pay Chris. Now, his age is an issue. I get it. He's 30, but he invests in his body, takes care of his body. He's one of those guys. I mean, we joke, he's kind of aging like Benjamin Button. He takes his career and how he's aging in earnest and in a way that's unique in the NFL. And so while the age becomes an issue for some teams in negotiations, I think there would be teams that would pay Chris that, in my opinion. If he were traded and or, you know, somehow they, you know, I don't think he gets cut, but there would be a market for him. But Howard isn't the target necessarily. It's just an indication of the value of cornerbacks in the league still.
When it comes to Chris Harris, isn't it kind of already predetermined what's going to happen here? And by that, I mean John Elway and really decision makers in all sports, isn't their job now, or the way that they view their job, is, hey, what is the value of the player? Place that value and stick with that value. And if they really felt that Chris Harris was worth getting a new deal done, that it would be done right now. The idea that this thing hasn't got done and is slowly going to percolate over the next couple of months and then a deal gets done that leaves everybody happy, I just don't see that happening. Do you?
It seems unlikely as we sit here today. Again, what changed it was at the combine, there was momentum and conversation feeling like, you know what, we want you here. We want you to be a Bronco for life. Chris certainly wants to be a Bronco for life. And then what changed? They went out and signed Kareem Jackson and Bryce Callahan. I mean, there's just no way around that to say that the dynamics changed, because now you've just outlaid money to two cornerbacks and or defensive backs, however you classify Jackson. So that's what changed it. I mean, they like Chris Harris, and I think they know this season they would be better with Chris Harris. The issue becomes that, you know, he's 31 and 32. That's, for me, seems to be kind of the issue. I don't think anyone would argue, Mike, that they're a better team without him this coming season. So, but how do you view it in those seasons 2 and 3 of a deal, or if it's front loaded and guaranteed for 2? So that's why they, you know, these GMs, they're forced to make tough decisions. Chris's situation is unique for me because he's checked all the boxes, and Von Miller said that. I mean, he's played at a high level. On many days, he's their best defensive player, depending on how you see Von Miller. I mean, and Chris plays every snap. He's been a Walter Payton Man of the Year. I mean, he's checked. I don't know what else he could have done, especially coming as an undrafted free agent. But yes, you're right. If they wanted it done, it would have been done by now. And when they signed 2 new defensive backs, then it really complicated a situation that was already a little greasy.
Hey, real quick, does Drew Locke coming out and basically saying that Joe Flacco's been great to him and he's helped him, he doesn't turn a cold shoulder to him, but he actually, you know, discusses football terms and answers questions, does that put the end, does that squash the whole, you know, Joe Flacco, bad mentor, bad teammate narrative that seems to be out there right now?
Well, I hope. I mean, I think when Joe, I mean, when Drew Luck's interviewed somewhere besides baggage claim at LAX and he's interviewed locally, that might finally put an end to it. I mean, it's at least out there, and good for Drew, I guess, for answering that question. You've talked about it, Mark. Joe Flacco is not a selfish guy. He's just not putting the guy on, you know, wind beneath my wings, put my arm around you, I'm going to teach you everything I know. That's not NFL football. It's athletic Darwinism. Is Joe Flacco going to help him on the field? If, hey, if Drew says, what was that coverage? Yes, he is. I've observed that. Is he going to spend every waking moment in a meeting room and outside and helping him? No, because that's not his job. You have a quarterback's coach and an offensive coordinator for that. It would be different if Joe Flacco was trying to sabotage a young guy. He's not doing that. Mm-hmm. If he asks him, he can help him. But he doesn't have to make it his priority. Joe Flacco, I'm sure, privately knows this might be his last best chance to start in the NFL and be a guy, be a dude again. He can't worry about, you know, making sure his replacement's perfectly ready. He can help him when it comes up and when Drew asks. But, yeah, I would hope at least it simmers down a little bit because the story took on legs, frankly, that were embarrassing.
Troy, real quick Rocky question for you. They played two competitive, good intensity type games against the Red Sox at Fenway, and now they move on and continue on here in Philadelphia. Is the last two games, is it something that you think can serve as some sort of launching pad, some sort of building block for them for the rest of this season?
Well, you pitch better when you keep pitching. You gain confidence and you stay in games, but you can't strike out 40 times in back-to-back games. I mean, that is a breathtaking number. And I'm excited to see what Brendan Rodgers could do. If Brendan Rodgers, I talked to multiple scouts yesterday, if he hits, they think he stays for good, that this isn't a weak thing. You know, I mean, Trevor might need a couple days off because of the knee issue, but Ryan McMahon hasn't hit, Mike. And so if Brendan Rodgers hits, I think you're going to see him stay. And the scouts think he's ready to hit. The defense is a work in progress, but they have enough outs in that lineup right now. If Rodgers starts hitting, he's going to stay up.
All right. Look forward to it. Always love seeing these prospects come up. All right. Thank you, Troy.
You got it, guys. See you.
Troy Rank is brought to us by Tranny Law. Have you or somebody you know been charged with a DUI? Call for a free consultation at 303-333-1816 or TRANILaw.com. Yeah, that's amazing. 40 strikeouts.
In two games.
In two games.
That is it. I mean, I know the game has changed, Mike. I mean, I understand that the game has changed. And the at-bat values, you know, the homers and the power numbers have just dwarfed, actually, I don't know, batting average. Nobody cares about it, it seems like. All they care about is power numbers. But for crying out loud, I mean, come on. At some point, you know, change your approach.
Yeah, but like the other night in the game that the Rockies, again, valiantly fought back and ended up losing on a walk-off. But in that game, the Red Sox, I think their first three RBIs came on 0-2 hits, 0-2 pitches. J.D. Martinez hit a 1-2 pitch for a home run. So, you know, just because you get to two strikes, it does not mean, you know, cue the Star Wars music, you know, dun, 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 you know, that your that doom is ahead. You know, you can still survive when you get two strikes on you in today's major league. You don't have to just automatically prepare for the strikeout.
Do you like have the?
You can fight off a pitch. You can.
Do you have the
poke it the other way?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can do. Yeah,
choke up.
Hey, Ben, do you have, you know, when they swing the lightsaber and whoosh? Like, you have that sound, like whoosh.
What's that sound?
The whoosh on the lightsaber when they're swinging that thing around.
Let me hear the whoosh.
I don't know if Ben can find that. I mean, I'm just asking him.
No, not that. Not that.
No. That's the X-Wing fighters.
No, that's like, yeah. No, that's their laser. No, that's Darth Vader breathing.
Darth Vader breathing.
No, we need to.
It sounds like this.
No,
it sounds like this. It's a whoosh, 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 like that.
Whoosh.
Lightsaber.
Can you find lightsaber music?
I don't know. What? I don't know. What's
the point?
Do? Like, what's Ben do? Like, does he just type in lightsaber sound? And then all of a sudden it pops up on
I believe that's Saber, S-A-B-R-E. Is it? Or E-R?
I know.
Depends who put it in the system.
Right. I don't know.
Most likely it wasn't Mike.
What's your point?
He doesn't know how to use computers.
What's your point, Mark?
I'm just thinking that's the sound that when it's 0-2 with the Rockies, they're whoosh. It's the sound the bats make. Like the lightsaber just going through, but not hitting anything.
Now I'm going to think about that tonight.
Right.
I've already got...
That's our thing.
I already got him down for at least 10, you know, tonight. So my feeling is if they can keep it under a dozen, it's a win.
So should we set the over-under at a dozen?
Yes.
Okay, over-under at a dozen.
Yeah.
Are they...
I mean, they just came off two games in which they averaged 20. So I think...
What do you got, Ben?
Let's go with 12.
Okay. Oh, I thought maybe you had some lightsaber news for me. Sorry, Ben. 12. You're going to go under?
I will go...
I'm going to go over.
Over?
Yeah, I'm going to go over. Well, wait a minute. Who's pitching tonight?
That's a good question. Hold on a second.
For the Phillies.
Maybe we got to figure out who's pitching, first of all. Pitching for the Phils tonight will be Cole Irvin.
Cole Irvin?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Cole has pitched in one game this year.
So 1-0 with a 1.29 ERA.
And he struck out 5 in that game.
Oh, okay. Well, that 5. So that means...
Oh.
Whoa, there it is.
There it is.
That's the missing.
Here we go. Here we go. Ready? Ian Desmond. 1-2. Change up.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, darn.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Here's Mark Reynolds. 2-2 pitch. Oh! Oh!
Whoa.
Oh, we got the laugh in there. Yeah, we got a cackle, too.
Sound like we fouled a couple off in that series to me. All right, well, there you have it.
Oh, we got the
breeze. Oh, my God.
Wow, we're getting the full experience. Okay.
Yo. Can you imagine what Raj and Cecil are doing right now?
Oh, my God.
Cecil just pulled over his car. Just soaking it in right now.
Smoking a cigarette.
He's just right now, he's just like, you're sitting in a parking lot, window down, smoking a cigarette.
Right, lighting up a heater. That's a thing of beauty right there.